Some have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. This morning, I offer a few words about celibacy in the life of the church, something still so misunderstood by so many. In my first seminary, we had an intramural football team, and every year we would just wipe out the competition, even the best student athletes at my first seminary, who were not seminarians, they were part of just the regular college program. And we heard through the grapevine that they became so frustrated that we kept on winning, these seminarians, these soon-to-be priests, that they gave us the nickname Team Celibate Rage. We love that. But I think it expresses something that many people just presume, that celibacy, not to marry, to live this life of sexual abstinence for the sake of Jesus, somehow has to come with some kind of unhealthy emotional life. Like that there has to be this anger or rage inside or this despair. That is pinned on celibates very often. What we hear Jesus speaking to us here is, first of all, he talks about the goodness of marriage, how it was authored by God, how the two become one, how divorce was tolerated in the old covenant for a time, but really, it was not meant to be so. And then in response to the disciples, Jesus says, you know, there are a number of people who aren't able to be married for various reasons, because of birth, because they're made eunuchs. And then there are some who choose it. They choose not to marry, not because it's bad, but because God calls them to something else. They are celibate for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Remember when Jesus says, unless one hates father or mother, and does not love me more, he cannot be my disciple. He's speaking about how the most important bond we have in life is with him. God calls some people to give all for him, their whole lives, their whole futures, their whole destinies, even to live in a celibate state, pointing as a sign that there is a life beyond this. And as good as marriage is, marriage itself is a sign of the wedding feast of the Lamb to come. Those who are consecrated celibates are pointing, they are living signs of that new marriage covenant with the Lamb. Married spouses image Christ's love for the church on earth. Consecrated celibates image Christ's love for us, the church in heaven. Both are beautiful vocations. A celibate is meant to be friends with Christ. It's meant to be someone fully alive, with a healthy emotional life, with good relationships and friendships. But their whole life is dedicated to the one they have fallen in love with, Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity. Their whole life is meant to be a service to others. Celibacy for priests and bishops has a very strong tradition in the church, especially in the Western Latin Church, of which we are a part. But that itself is not unchangeable. And there are exceptions to that. We have priests in our archdiocese who are married priests. Father Larry Blake, the chaplain at St. Thomas University, who you have met, he's been here before. He has a family. And there are others. But the strong tradition, the strong custom has been in the Western Church for priests and bishops to be living signs of that heavenly life, living signs in that celibate state of how Christ gives everything for his bride, the church. And of course, the number one celibate in the New Testament is Jesus himself. He himself had no earthly wife. He himself had no biological children, because his father gave him a different kind of mission, one that was entirely consumed with the kingdom of God and its needs. Now, both these vocations of marriage and celibacy help one another. I am so blessed in my own celibacy as I come to know holy married couples and I see their love. And people have told me that they are blessed by the witness of priestly celibacy. But here's what John Chrysostom says to conclude. Whoever denigrates marriage also diminishes the glory of virginity or celibacy. Whoever praises it makes virginity more admirable and resplendent. What appears good only in comparison with evil would not be truly good. The most excellent good is something even better than what is admitted to be good. So friends, let us pray for the world to see the witness of Christians in every state of life, especially those who have taken vows of celibacy, that they may live for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, and that those who are called to it and do not know it yet may hear that call and accept that gift.